Yeah, you know what you can get me, Pee-wee?
What?
El Hombre.
That was a catastrophe.
I know.
That's a new low. Yeah. Roz is better.
El Hombre.
Brought to you by Hunt Services.
El Hombre.
The natural meets Rudy meets... I don't even know how to describe it.
El Hombre.
He's here, everybody. Every week you look forward to this conversation as much as we do. Joining us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline is the one, the only, El Hombre, Michael Bradley, who's texting me as that update is going, are we doing this tonight? Hello?
Yeah, we had a better guest on. So,
happy September 5th.
Hi, Michael.
I heard the update. He said that the series starts September 8th. I guess this makes this September 5th.
I didn't catch that part.
There we go. Bob got me on Javier instead of Javier. And also I noticed that last time I did it, I said the pregame was at 5 o'clock, which is right now. So you missed out on that, too.
I guess having the writers on strike has hurt you a lot, dude.
Yeah, I got to write my own stuff now.
Yeah. We're all out of sorts here. We're all a little buckled by what's gone on with the Mariners with this four-game losing streak at the most crucial time of the season, Michael. I don't know how much you've paid attention from the East Coast there, but as you might imagine, fans, everybody a little uptight, a little nervous about these final six games. I feel like last time we spoke, the Mariners were in first place in the AL West, and right now they're sitting outside of the third wild card spot.
No, I've been following it, and I've been as dismayed as your fans have been because I'm rooting for Seattle. I can't stand Houston, and I don't like anything from Texas, so forget the Rangers. So I've been rooting hard for Seattle. So it's tough, and that's why it sounds like a cliche, but that's why it's a 162 game season. It might possibly be the most perfect amount. It's crazy who came up with 162, but it really shows you got to play the entire season, you got to finish the year. And I'm hoping that they can rebound with these games they got left because they're against the teams they want to be against. They don't have to scoreboard watch. You're playing Houston and you're playing Texas. Knock them around and you're in good shape.
Yeah, and it seems like Texas has done the best job of sort of developing guys and signing free agents. And they got after it last year before the 2022 season and didn't really work out for them last year. But you know, and you get to a point as a sports fan where you have to be honest, right? And just go, okay, maybe they're just better than us. Maybe it's not that maybe we play our best game and they play their best game and it just doesn't work out. I mean, it's kind of tough, but I mean, sometimes you got to be honest with yourself.
No, it's a lot of it's matchups too, right? How do you go against their pitchers? When do they, who shows up? Whom do you see? You know, right now the Phillies are making their push to clinch the wild card, the top seed in the wild card to get the home field in the first round, and they got to throw Wheeler last night and Nola tonight, and you know it could be over by then. So it's perfect. It's a lot of it's matchups, but a lot of it is when are you going to get hot and when are you not? And it's unfortunate now. Seattle is just going through a bad spot at the absolute worst time.
Well, and something we had John Morosi on from MLB Network in the previous segment and throwing this to him, and you know this better than anybody, especially being in Philadelphia, that when things aren't going right, it becomes whose fault is it? Whose fault is it? Well, the manager, you start there, right? They don't know what they're doing. When they're winning, they're great. When they're losing, they don't know what they're doing. Why did you play this guy, not that guy? Why didn't you bunt? Why didn't you pinch run? I mean, that's how it goes. I'm just curious your perspective from the outside. Considering the roster that he's working with, you know, and everything that's gone on here in Seattle, what's your impression of Scott Servais?
Look, I think he's done a good job. He made the playoffs last year. You're in the playoff hunt this year. That's all you can ask for as a franchise. Obviously, you want to win it all, but that's not where the Mariners are yet. And the roster is good. It's not spectacular. And you can push as many buttons as you want, but when guys don't hit and when the pitchers can't make the pitches, it doesn't matter how good your manager is. It can be anybody. You know, you could have the Tony La Russa at his prime sitting there, and it's not going to help you. So the Phillies, I've seen this with the Phillies, they'll all go in a slump at the same time. And you say, well, whose fault is it? It's everybody's fault. They just don't. You know, there's certain teams, the Phillies play really well on emotion. They play on momentum. one guy starts to hit, the next guy starts to hit, the fans get behind him. That's how they kind of roll. That's why they were so good in the playoffs last year, because they had the best home field advantage you've ever seen. And so it was very difficult to play them because the fans were roaring the whole time and the players fed off of it. I'm not criticizing the Seattle fans. I'm just saying you never can put your finger on it during a losing streak, especially when a team's had some good play throughout the rest of the year. I mean, the A's stink because the A's stink. Seattle's just hit the skids at the absolute worst time.
Hey, Michael, a guy that seemingly everybody just loved, Brooks Robinson, passed away. Yeah, and just any of your thoughts and you know, any time you interacted with him or anything like that, memories?
No, I never had a chance to talk to him. And, you know, being in a National League city when he played, we never saw him. We rarely, you know, we saw him during the playoffs when he made those tremendous plays, especially in that World Series against the Reds. You got to love the fact that he was the human vacuum cleaner back when nicknames were great, back when he didn't just take the first letter of the first name and the first syllable of the second. Okay. A-Rod. Ooh, what a good nickname. You know, the human vacuum cleaner. That's a great nickname. Right. And he was 16 gold gloves. Most of any player that wasn't a pitcher. He just played and he had that little mitt too. I mean, it's not like he was playing with this giant basket out there. Plus, he could hit. Remember, he had the little bill on his batting helmet, the short bill in the front. I don't know if you guys ever remember that. He was the scourge of many a right-handed hitter because they'd scald the ball down and they think they're going to get a double, and boom, he comes up with it and then throws him out.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the stories, just all of his accolades, 18 yeah. All-Star games. I think he had 16 gold gloves in a row. It just, you know, one after another after another. And speaking of great defense, Dave, you know who would have appreciated what I was raving about in the outfield more than anybody? This guy.
Our right guy here?
Michael Bradley. We were watching. We're out here at T-Mobile Park doing the show from here, Michael. Right. And they had early batting practice, a couple guys out there. And shagging balls in the outfield was one of your all-time favorite players, Ichiro Suzuki, who is going to be 50. He's going to be 50 years old in a couple of weeks. And he's out there. He's watching the fly ball come to him, turns his back, faces the stands, and catches it over his shoulder repeatedly.
Yeah.
And then he's catching him behind his back. Then he's throwing missiles, darts, to the guy. He's in right field. He's throwing it to the guy who's just behind second base on a line. The guy doesn't even move his feet. I mean, he's still got a cannon arm, and just watching him track fly balls and make catches with his back turned to it over his shoulder repeatedly. It's just, you would have gotten a kick out of it as much as you like him.
Oh, and I don't know why the guy retired. I mean, I know he's still in better shape than most ball players. I mean, you know, you look at Kyle Schwarber sitting out here in Philadelphia hitting 198 or whatever it is, jack and home run. Ichiro could you know, make him look like he was, you know, a sumo wrestler. So I just think he was so much fun, so adept. He could do anything. If you said to him, "Hey, Ichiro, I'll bet you whatever, you can't hit 30 home runs this year," he hit 30 home runs. There's no question about it. He could do anything he wanted to do on a baseball field. He was so fast. I got to see him play in person one time, and I was so happy about it. And what just amazed me was routine ground balls, two hoppers to shortstop that looked like they would be an easy out, turned into just totally scary situations because there goes Ichiro blazing down the first baseline. He was just a joy, and it's great to hear that he's still out there having fun.
Yeah, I was glad when he left the field because Bob was every 5 seconds going, "Hey, look at that. Did you see that? Did you see that? Hey, look at it. Look, watch him."
Couldn't help it, Michael.
It was pretty impressive. Hey, what do you think about our guy Broadway Joe taking a swipe at Zach Wilson? Just, you know, the backup there in with the Jets. And I didn't know Joe Namath had that in him.
First of all, he didn't take a swipe at him. He hit him with one of those cartoon mallets, right? You know, those giant, oversized. This was a takeout, man. I think somebody in the Jets front office said, "Hey, Joe, listen, you want to earn a little money? Get rid of him. You know, make him go away." He obliterated, and he's right. He's not good. And this is we've talked about this every year at draft time in the NFL. We talk about how teams talk themselves into drafting quarterbacks because the quarterback is the most important position. Zach Wilson had, what, one, maybe one and a half good years at Brigham Young. He was one of those run around and heave it guys. It's clear he's not a good quarterback, and it was clear from the time he came into the league. Look, I mean, look at Justin Fields. He's rotten. These teams continually waste draft picks on bad quarterbacks because they're afraid the fans are going to yell at them if somebody else hits on one of them. Trust your scouting. Know the guy's no good, and go somewhere else to get a player. Don't. You know, he's just not a good player, and I'm glad Joe did it.
Yeah, it's amazing with quarterbacks, you know, how that's the position where you see the biggest, most obvious miss. I mean, every once in a while you'll get, like, who was the offensive lineman the Titans drafted? Lefko?
Isaiah Wilson.
Dancing
on top of a car.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, oh my God, we talk about Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, and especially the Jets, just in general, that franchise, being able to get ballers at every other position except quarterback.
Yeah, and this is really tough because they got a great defense. And they finally got get some weapons on the outside for him, and this was supposed to be Aaron Rodgers. He wasn't going to have an Aaron Rodgers year from 8 years ago, but even if he had an Aaron Rodgers year from last year, that was going to be good enough to get the Jets really into the playoff picture. So now what you have to do, I mean, it's clear. If you're the Jets, you call Minnesota. You say, look, you guys stink. Kirk Cousins is on the end of his contract. You're not going to pay him next year. What do you want? What do you want for the guy? Because we need a quarterback who can play. And then you'd call Kirk Cousins and you'd say, look, don't be a star. Just don't throw the ball away. Let's win games 17-13, okay? They have to do it. They have to make a deal.
They did. They signed Trevor Siemian.
Oh, please.
They're fine.
Seriously.
Yeah, so now you got Zach Wilson, Tim Boyle, and Trevor Siemian. That's the trifecta of success right there.
You've got three quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Hey, what was your take on the Colorado Oregon? First of all, I'm sure you saw it was the highest rated college football game of the entire weekend, eclipsing Ohio State Notre Dame. Amazing the impact Deion's had. But there was all this, you know, hand wringing over the Oregon's what is his name, Lanning, his pregame speech. And I'm listening to it. I watched it like five times, going, what is everybody worked up about? It sounds like every other locker room speech I've ever heard.
No, here's what they're worked up about. Oregon, the school that, you know, bought the first really big football building and crazy locker room that has 900 uniform combinations, which is the social media kings, right? Is and the coaches out there. I mean, and what they wore was hideous, right? The green uniforms with the yellow numbers and the black pants. Seriously, it's like they got dressed in the dark. It's horrid. But he's given somebody else trouble for clicks when Oregon was all about clicks for a while. Look, I did a lot of reading of some people who know football leading up to the game, and it was pretty clear what was going to happen and what happened was supposed to happen. Colorado has some good players, but it doesn't have enough. Their offensive line is horrific, and I'm surprised Oregon didn't have more sacks. So this is a program that is building. If they win six games this year, it should be great. And I know that sounds silly when they've already got three, but they don't have it very easy the rest of the way. So if they win six and go to a bowl, it's a successful season. Then Deion's got to go out with his staff and recruit some more players and build some depth and fortify his line because Oregon's a mature program and Colorado's just getting up and standing on its feet.
I'm trying to remember the last dirty quarterback. I'm thinking – whatever the name that the character that Burt Reynolds was playing when he was playing
Paul
quarterback
Crew,
in the prison.
Paul Crew.
There we go.
C-R-E-W-E. Paul Crew, the Wrecking Crew.
So we got the Patriots quarterback. He's taking shots at people's nether regions is what we've settled on.
What the heck is that about?
How about Mac Jones?
Dude. Yeah, that's ridiculous. And Sauce Gardner's out there saying, look, here's the video. I didn't do anything wrong. The guy went after the boys. You know, you gotta protect yourself.
Did you see the video he put out, though? I didn't see any. I'm watching it five times. Dave watched it. I'm going, I don't see the hit that he's talking about.
I didn't see it either. I looked at it also, and I'm going, okay, what's the problem here? But, you know, it, who knows? We're now the NFL's turning into the NBA. We got Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. And let me tell you something. I spend time every week around a bunch of 20-something young women, That's all they're talking about is this. Some of them care about football, but the rest of them care about Taylor Swift. So this is gigantic news. Then you got this Mac Jones, Sauce Gardner thing. You got the mess in Denver, the bigger mess in Chicago. The guys break into the parking lot, steal lawnmowers and other equipment. Meanwhile, teams are playing football, but nobody cares because it's all the extraneous stuff. It's all of a sudden this is like James Harden and Ben Simmons.
Do you think some people enter into like a platonic relationship? I mean, I don't know what Taylor Swift has to gain, or Kelsey for that matter, but I don't know. I mean,
Kelsey,
it sure
Kelsey,
is.
Here's what Kelsey has to gain. He's up to 3 million Instagram followers. That means he's going to be doing all the rest of the commercials. Because right now he's doing half of them, okay? So he's gonna get a whole bunch more stuff because now he's an influencer for some reason. Because Taylor Swift has reached down and it's like the Lord touching Michelangelo or whatever. Taylor Swift has touched him. He's now even more important. For her, she's having a good old time, going to games, eating chicken with a ranch, But then this could be fodder for her next album if they have an ugly breakup. She writes an entire album about how much she hates football.
Well, it was kind of an interesting scene to see her sitting there next to Kelsey's mom, and it was just that juxtaposition was kind of odd to me. She was very calm, and Taylor was jumping up and down,
And meanwhile, in Philadelphia, we got the real Kelsey and Swift. We got Jason Kelsey at center, and we got DeAndre Swift running for 150 yards, tearing up the Buccaneers. We'll take our Kelsey and Swift over Kansas City.
Hey, you brought up the Denver Broncos. 70 points, Michael, not happened since 1966. I mean, how do you even explain it, and what should the fallout be?
Well, the fallout, if anybody's paying attention to what Sean Payton said about Nathaniel Hackett's coaching job last year, saying it's one of the worst coaching jobs, if not the worst coaching job in the history of the NFL. He didn't give up 70 points, pal. I think I saw a stat where the Dolphins averaged a first down every play. That's how bad it was. So, you bring this guy in, he's supposed to fix the franchise, and they do something absolutely historic. And the only reason that it wasn't the most points ever scored in a regular season game, and it would have tied that playoff game back when Washington tore up Chicago 73-0, the only reason is that the McDaniel was nice and didn't try to kick the field goal at the end of the game to rub it in even further.
70 points. I mean, I didn't see the game. I saw the highlights, but that just, if a team is trying at the NFL level, it seems impossible. If that defense is trying, hey, we are actively trying to stop that other team. You're probably going to stop them a couple times. It doesn't compute that they could give up 70 and they didn't quit.
And isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that this week we have the Broncos playing the Bears? I mean, two complete dumpster fires facing off against each other. This score may be in the negative numbers. They may actually be taking points away from them.
Can't wait to see that. He is El Hombre, Michael Bradley. He's with us every single Tuesday at 5 o'clock. You can find him here, or you can find him on Twitter, at Daily, or I guess X, whatever the heck you want to call it. At Daily Hombre is where you find him there. Interact at your own risk, as I like to tell you. Michael, great stuff. We appreciate it, and we'll talk next week.
So long, suckers.
There you go. If you missed any of that conversation with Michael, you'll find it on the podcast page after the show at seattlesports.com. Coming up, there is one question we have before the Mariners take the field tonight. We'll get into that next with Wyman and Bob live from T-Mobile Park. You're listening to Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports.
We are live at T-Mobile Park. It's Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710 and seattlesports.com. Our thanks to Michael Bradley, who joined us in the previous segment. Again, if you guys missed any of that, or if you missed John Morosi, who was with us in person here in the booth, Who else did we have on today? Anthony Bradford.
Anthony Bradford, yeah.
Had Bradford on earlier. So
Rick Riz stopping in.
Rick Riz.
Mark Schlereth.
He's throwing, too busy throwing papers at us. He's tormenting us.
Did you already put aside the fact that Mark Schlereth told a hilarious...
Oh, that's right. Schlereth
maybe
was
terrifying story.
Terrifying.
I was wondering where he was going.
He makes Dave the most nervous. I can feel Dave getting tense. Like, okay, what is he going to say?
Well,
what's he going to say?
That's only because I know him.
Yeah, and he's done it before a couple of times where we're all looking at each other. Should we hit the dump button? Can that fly or no? What should we do here?
I have to say that was actually pretty clever and kind of sweet a little bit because he's married, you know, and his wife tapped him on the shoulder and he thought it was for other reasons and said she's only human.
For personal time. He's a funny dude.
If
you missed that and anything else, Morosi, Bradford, El Hombre, it's all going to be on the podcast page for you after the show at seattlesports.com.
Bob, check out that Houston Astros fan down there. Now, is he going to get some grief here in Seattle?
Which one are you looking at?
He's got a big bright orange shirt on
and a cowboy hat.
Yeah, no cowboy boots, but yeah, there's some Houston fans down there.
That's a bad look.
I would think he's going to get heckled.
Yeah, I would think so.
Maybe he's like a oil billionaire, and he's going to be in a suite. So
probably, yeah. Hopefully. He's down there with the special folks, the roped-off area. So he's highfalutin, Dave.
Yeah, exactly.
And plus, it's kind of hard to talk smack when you went out there and you did what you did last night, which was a lot of nothing.
Yeah.
As a fan, it's hard to come in here all chest puffed up and, feeling confident. I think there's a lot of hope. I don't know how much confidence there is, but this feels like the game for them to get it done. By the way, the Mariners taking on the Astros, as we said, game two of this three-game series. And the T-Mobile Park roof will be, I'm going to go ahead and say, closed. Despite you see the sunshine out to our left, but you look dead center. There's a lot of clouds out there. And we were just talking during the break about the torrential downpour that took place earlier. So I'm going to go ahead and say it's going to be closed tonight. That's the state roof report.
I think Rick was driving across the bridge the same time I was, the I-90.
Like, yeah.
Good night. Yeah. I have not seen it rain that hard, I don't think ever. I mean, that was ridiculous.
Yeah, I had the wipers on warp speed, and they weren't keeping up with the rain as I was coming across the West Seattle Bridge. But Mariners currently, as we've talked about, in the midst of their worst month of the season. They are 8-15 this month. Their worst month to this point has been June when they went 9-15. You look at the numbers their team is hitting. You look at the slash line, 235, 304, 400, 704 for the month of September. You look at the pitching has taken it. The team ERA in September is 4.51. That's 17th in the league. The average against is 251, which is tied for 20th. So it's kind of been a collective fade in the month of September. And the question we asked earlier, is this a team that's running out of gas? Are they just kind of hitting a wall? Some young pitchers at the back end of the rotation perhaps are feeling it in Wu and Miller? Or is this just who they are against better teams? Are we just seeing the difference between them and some of the better, I don't know if you call them elite, but some of the better teams certainly, with the Dodgers are elite. You look at the Astros and Rangers and what they've invested into their teams. Are we seeing that difference?
Yeah, I think this is the point as a fan. It's where you have to come to some grave truths. Is it that they're just not good enough? They're just not as good as Houston and Texas. And Texas is the one that worries me the most. Doesn't matter whether I'm worried or not, but for me anyway. And we talked to JP and he said it's Houston actually. So hopefully you get out of George Kirby, just looking at the notes, most quality starts with no walks, age 25 or younger in MLB history. He's got 11. So has gone 6-plus innings while allowing 3 or fewer earned runs and no walks 11 times this season. So hopefully we get one of those performances from Kirby.
They need it. We're talking about 6 games left. They must win. You got to win tonight. You got to get it done. If they lose tonight, are they out of it? No, they're not out of it. But you need it for all kinds of reasons. Obviously, you stay in it. You got to get these guys in the right frame of mind. I can't imagine what that clubhouse was like last night after the game. I wasn't in there. But it was just, to come off that road trip where you get swept by the Rangers and then to come out and manage 3 hits in the game on your home field against the Astros. I just think for their peace of mind, you got to get this one. And it feels like the most likely if you're looking at the pitching matchups. You know, you had Verlander going last night. You got Framber Valdez going in the third game. You got Christian Javier going tonight. He feels like, of the three, that's the guy you can get something done against. And you've got Kirby going.
I was going to ask you last night, you know, with Julio. So, you know, they get Canzone. Did he get a hit or he walk? I can't remember.
He had the third hit. Two hits by Rojas, one by Canzone.
Right. All part of the trade. All part of the big trade over.
Everybody else was over.
Yeah, then Rojas gets a hit. JP draws a walk. And then you get Julio up, and, you know, he hits into a double play. That didn't bother me because I'm like, you can't expect that every single time out of Julio. I mean, great things from him always. The one that bothered me was bobbling the ball, allowing Abreu to get to third. I guess that was
the game, yeah.
Yeah, that one, I guess that bothered me a little bit more. Just I felt like he wasn't paying attention to detail, but I don't know. You know, those things happen, but, you know, the not getting or hitting into a double play with the bases loaded, you know, with one out, I mean, I don't know. He made contact with the ball. They made a really good defensive play. It was a good pick by Abreu, but, you know, I guess I don't expect that. It's not like I'm mad at Julio for that. But that really was one of a couple of plays that happened last night that lost the game.
Yeah, I mean, and he's the one that drove in the one run they scored on a sac fly. But
yeah,
those are the moments for the superstars. When they get that opportunity to shine, you're expecting they're going to come up with something. At minimum, you're hoping a fly ball to bring in a run. Sacrifice fly. Something in that situation rather than hitting, getting out in front of an off-speed pitch. And, you know, it turns into a double play. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, listen, if he's hitting 300 on the season, we're going, this guy's killing it. It means he's failing 7 out of 10 times. That might be one of those times. And I think at least as of about a week ago, he was hitting over 300 with runners in scoring position. But, you know, didn't happen last night, and it just feels worse. It feels heavier because of where we're at in the season, because of what's on the line, what's at stake. And more importantly, what just happened in Texas? You lose all three, so you feel like we got an opportunity. All right, this is where we can break the game open. And then that, it's so deflating. You're just deflated. I mean, in the end, am I blaming him? No, he's out there trying. He's working his tail off trying to get it done. It didn't happen. But the timing of it, the season, the game, everything, it felt that much worse.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel. And I'm sorry to be negative in front of a game like this. We're out here. This is exciting. And look, they're still in it. I think this is maybe one of those that, you know, that they can pick up when you really don't expect it. But you're right. It just doesn't feel great, especially with the stat that you just read. They're 2-12 this month with teams over 500.
Yeah, so, one win against the Reds, one against the Rays.
Yeah, that's terrible. And, you know, look, those are the kinds of things. I mean, we're focusing everything, you know, on the end of the season, this series with Houston, the next series with the Rangers. But there were those along the way, like the Reds and Tampa, where, you know, they could have picked up a game or two and they wouldn't be in such a tight spot right now.
All right, coming up, does the Mariners season come down to tonight's game? We're going to weigh in on that next. It's Wyman and Bob live from T-Mobile Park on your home for the Mariners playoff hunt, Seattle Sports on 710.
Wyman and Bob.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
We continue live from T-Mobile Park. It's Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710 and seattlesports.com. Again, a reminder, anything you missed from today's show will be available on the podcast page after the show at seattlesports.com. Just click the podcast tab, click on our picture, and it'll be right there waiting for you, as it is each and every night. And as Wyman and Lefko and Matt Nelson tell you every time, click subscribe. It's the key to the entire thing. All right, Dave, is tonight a must-win? Do they have to win? Does this dictate the future of their of the remainder of the season? Do you feel like if they win tonight, they've got a great chance to get in the postseason? If they lose tonight, that's it. It's done.
Well, you put it that way.
It's all over. Don't even bother showing up for the next five games.
It's not over till it's over. I think talking to JP, you know, this is probably the tougher matchup. And I feel like the 1-8 series record that they have against the Rangers, come on, that can't continue. I feel like, you know, that if they do lose tonight, that they could take three from Texas. But look, I just think those are really good teams, and sometimes they just have better guys than you do. And right now, the way that they're playing, although, you know, Houston was coming off a sweep from the Royals.
On their home. They're a better road team this year, though.
Yeah.
If you look at the Astros' numbers on the road versus home, they're decidedly better on the road.
I think they're like 37 and 41 now at home, because they were 37 and 37, I think. But, yeah, it's...
Why
it's,
speculate? Let's take a look.
Yeah, it's crazy how, you know, how certain teams, you know, have just gotten to them. So, yeah, that was... Although, when we played the Royals this year, we were like, that was a pretty scrappy team, man.
That was a problem, yeah.
Yeah, they were good.
39 and 42 at home, 47 and 29 on the road are the Astros.
Yeah, I wonder why that is, or if that's a thing.
Mariners are actually, as we sit right now, they've got more wins on the road, but they have more losses as well. So they're obviously wrapping up with the seven-game stretch here to end the season at home. But, yeah, 43 and 38 on the road versus 41 and 34 here at home.
Well, I feel like with guys like Julio and Cal, you know, guys that make big plays and can get some momentum going, you know, I feel like they're always available to win a game like this that they probably shouldn't, or a series that they probably shouldn't. So it's just, you know, what we talked about, I think, in the very beginning. Can they recapture some of the magic from last year? Because that was just awesome. I mean, I remember I think we went to New Orleans, maybe, or we were on the road somewhere. It might have been Detroit. And, you know, you're talking about when they clinched the playoff berth, and everybody's crying and hugging each other in the crowd, and, you know, that kind of magic.
Yeah.
That's what they need.
I was in the stands during the with the Cal Raleigh home run, and all the beer came flying over the top levels up there, came down on everybody. And it was community, man. Everybody was in it together, and there's tears and smiles and hugs and beer and everything. You know, everything that makes up fun, Dave, going on there.
Beer.
Yeah.
But absolutely.
So what is your, on a scale of 1 to 10, I asked you this on the sheet, panic level, 1 to 10, where are you at right now?
Well, I'm at the game tonight. I'm going to sit here and watch the game and go over with some friends of mine. And so my panic level is very low. I think they're going to win tonight. It's just a matter of, can they take this series? Can they take the Ranger series? That, I mean, to me, that's not too much to ask.
Based on the way they've been playing, it is kind of a big ask, though. It goes against what we've been seeing with this team. But
Kirby's pretty, you know, and I think there was some talk that, oh, maybe this kid's kind of cocky and, you know, a little too big for his britches. I like that. I mean, I feel like that's going to help him, and that he is going to be that's going to fuel him. You know, if he truly is that way, you know, if he truly does have confidence. And a lot of times you could argue that if you're showing it too much, then you don't. But I don't know. I feel like this kid has always just been incredible, especially from the standpoint of lack of walks.
Yeah.
What do you think, Bob? More importantly, you're the baseball guy.
My panic level for the season, just in terms of they make it, they don't make it, what, you know, tonight's game, I feel pretty good about tonight's game. I think this, even going in before last night, just looking at the pitching matchups for the three games, this is the one I looked at and went, okay, that's, you got to get that one, because I think Javier is your best chance for your offense to have some success. You know, with Framber Valdez and Verlander, you know what you're getting, man. That's gonna be a tough road, and you're gonna need your guy to match them on some level, and hopefully your offense can get it going. But so I feel pretty good about tonight. I mean, yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I'm feeling a little anxious about how this is gonna end up in the season, because you wrap up the season with four games against a team you've got one win against on the year, one. You know, so it's you're what is it, 1-8 against them.
Yeah,
my panic level on a scale of 1 to 10 is probably a 7 right now.
If they take the next couple of the, you know, with the Astros here, are you going to feel a little less panicky going into that Ranger one?
Yes, I will.
They're the team that worries me the most and bothers me the most. So,
well, we were doing the math off the air, good for us, before the show.
Yeah, that was very confusing.
So here's the math equation. The Mariners have 6 games left. Astros have 5 left. If the Astros go 3-2 in their remaining 5, which includes tonight, 3-2, the Mariners will need to go 5-1 in the remaining six games in order to tie them. And they own the tiebreaker with them.
Right.
That felt scary to me. Like, okay, the Astros, it would be winning three out of five, but they can still stand a couple of losses where we're looking at the Mariners going, you got to win five of six, and you've just lost four in a row. You've only won eight in the entire month of September. That feels big. Feels like a big ask.
Yeah. Look at Ryan Roland Smith there. We get the little monitor here. He's getting all gussied up there.
Yeah, well,
check your tie.
I didn't realize they weren't actually on the air because they were doing a dugout shot with Angie and Jen, and Jen was reaching over, fixing Angie's hair and stuff. I'm going, are they doing that? Okay, this isn't on right now. Okay. Let's get a little different view of the Root Sports broadcast.
Usually it's the other way around. I remember the first time I did TV with Angie. She's like, oh, come here. Here. And she gets her makeup out and she starts doing, yeah.
Started painting you up.
I was like, well, thank you. Yeah.
That was a lot of trust. She could have been drawing, you know, pictures on your forehead. Yeah. You wouldn't have known. Very trusting of you. Yeah, this is, I just think, like we talked about, for tonight's game, it is huge for a million reasons. You need the win. I think you got to get the players. They probably are feeling heavy right now. You got to just get that win and feel like, okay, let's attack this next game. We got that one. Now we're feeling better about ourselves. I mean, last night was as deflating as it gets. So I think tonight's it. You got to get it done tonight.
Yeah, the two words we've used the most: deflating and magic.
Yeah.
Two quite opposite words there.
So, yeah, let's eliminate one as it pertains to tonight and go with let's go with magic for
let's
tonight.
Capture the magic.
Let's hope Kirby's got some magic out there. Let's hope the offense has got some magic out there. And we'll all celebrate tomorrow together, which we are planning to be out here again tomorrow. So that's going to wrap it up today. Our thanks to Anthony Bradford, Mark Schlereth, John Morosi, and El Hombre, Michael Bradley. If you missed any of it, it's on the podcast page at seattlesports.com. Have a great night, everybody. Go Mariners. We'll talk to you tomorrow with Wyman and Bob, Seattle Sports on 710.